Let us, before we pray, read from Luke chapter 11, from verse 33. Luke chapter 11, from verse 33.
Niemand zündet ein Licht.
No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle does give thee light. So far, this precious and holy word of the Lord. The Lord, in this earthly example, he set forth the divine meaning, and we know that we are the body of the Lord. As the natural eye gives light to the whole body, the foot sees where it steps. The hand sees where it reaches or grabs. The whole body is depending that he sees what he does. And I cannot do otherwise but to think on the word of the prophet, the Lord has covered the eyes of the seers, so that the vision can no more be understood. But thanks be to God that he, the Lord, has given grace, has given prophetic revelation, a clear view to the body of the Lord, to the church of the living God, by his grace. He who walks in darkness after the light has come must give himself the guilt. God gives the light for the purpose that we walk in it, that we are illuminated by it. Here it says, the light of the body is your eye. O church of the living God, the prophetic view, the seers, the men whom God used to show the church the way, to reveal the word, and to reveal his will, was necessary to foretell the plan of salvation, and they are necessary to, in the time of fulfillment, that what God promised, to put it upon the candlestick. The light of the body is the eye. As long as your eye is healthy, thy whole body shall be full of light. May God give us grace. We know the eyes of God are totally healthy. The eyes of God run through all the country, and He wants to prove Himself mighty on them who wholeheartedly trust in Him. In the same way, we may say that the prophetic revelation, this divine view and the overall view of the plan of salvation was given to us by His grace. The prophets of God had a clear, unclouded, divine view, and they could look into the future. Probably I said it in Vienna last Friday evening, that Paul was not only an apostle, not only a teacher, but also a prophet, with a clear view in reference to that what should happen in the end time. And one just need to read 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Thessalonians 2, and many other scriptures, and one recognizes that behind this natural eye are the eyes of the heart open, who have a clear view into the future. Beloved, we are living in a time in which we need God's help in a very special way. When I was on my way here, a word spoke to my heart. Usually, we leave the things of this earth to the rulers of this earth. But the Bible says, pray for those in authority, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceable life. And if there was ever a time in which we should make it a concern of our hearts to pray for those in authority, that this precious time of liberty is still preserved to us, then it is now. Perhaps I came to this point because in Vienna, on Friday evening, in the Albert Schweitzer House, we have a meeting, and this house is subject to the Lutheran Church. And when I wanted to look at the building in the afternoon, the pastor came out, and he was deeply concerned when he asked me whether we belong to the World Council of Churches. And I said, no. And then he asked, do you belong at least to the Evangelical Alliance? I said, no. And then he says politely, may I ask whether you at least belong to the Pentecostal Church? And I said, no. And you can imagine what kind of consequences this had. The man was outraged, and he asked, what are you then at all? Beloved, in the eyes of this world, we are nothing. But in the eyes of God, we are something precious. And then he suddenly says, do you know, If I would have known this, then I would not be allowed to rent this hall to you. To me, these words spoke. The pressure doesn't only come from the religious side, from ideologies, but the pressure will become most fanatic and most terrible from the religious side. But thanks be to God. Rather to die with the truth than to live without the truth. Is this so or not? For me, this is so. Rather to live and die with the truth than to live without and against the truth. And what shall I tell you? Behind the curtain on the platform, they of course had a whole board, a committee sitting, which listened what is being said here. Seldom in my life I was in such a tight situation and atmosphere as there. Therefore, the meeting lasted 2 hours, that as much as possible could be said. But we notice already where the things point to, and we may thank God that about the Antichrist, about all the Antichrist system with all its various branches, he gave us clarity. God has given us light, and the body of the Lord knows where it walks. He knows what he does by the giving of the light to the whole body. Was given salvation and light. Is this not something for we can be thankful? Although everything else perhaps seems to be against us or against the Lord, the scripture says, when he is for us, who can be against us? And Brother Branham, of course, lines it out in one sermon and says that Satan, since the beginning of mankind, has killed the righteous seed. And you can read that all from Abel up to Zacharias, who was killed before the altar, all the righteous and all who were sent by God, they went from this earth. Most of them, they paid their lives with their blood, their testimony. And then Brother Bram lines out, when the Lord died and when he went down into the most down parts, there Satan said, when I killed all the others, I thought to have you, but now you are here. And you all know what happened. Our Lord conquered death, hell, Satan, and everything he conquered. He has taken the keys from death and hell to himself. And on the third day, he rose. Beloved, our Lord is a great God. He will have the victory. Although when it sometimes seems that we are the oppressed, I think I said it here or somewhere else, now we are the fools. The whole world thinks we are so stupid that we believe such things. One thing I want to tell you. One day, all those who think to be wise today, they will be the fools. And we who are called fools today, we will belong to the wise, and they will enter into the joy of the Lord. May God bless this short word of introduction. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for the open doors and for the occasions which we have to bring the end time message, your revealed word, your promises which you have given, to carry them and to give the last call. Faithful God, we ask you that you once again manifest yourself in an extraordinary way, that not the word only, but as it is written, the kingdom of God is not in words only, but in power and the effectiveness of the Holy Ghost. Lord, also this afternoon, may your word accomplish for what you have sent it for. You know our needs, our problems, the sicknesses, whatever it might be. Savior, strengthen us today in the faith. Give us your gracious hand and place us on higher ground. We remember especially our beloved brother Ram Sauer, who came to the front in desperation. Lord, may your hand come upon him and may a turnaround take place. My God, we believe that you answer prayers. We believe that you answer. And therefore we are coming to you. Yes, Lord. All who seek help with you, they shall find it. Who need an answer from you, they will get it. Lord, be mightily present today. I praise you and I worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. I would like to read from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and from chapter 8, and then we go over to the New Testament, to Ephesians. But here, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's written in verse 19, wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. God's word always creates a balance. It tells us what we shall do, and also that what we didn't do right. And as long as the time of grace lasts, God gives room for repentance. God gives room for repentance. And James says, of course, in his letter, if anybody lacks wisdom, then let him ask God for it. And I belong to those who have been equipped very little with wisdom. And therefore I ask God with all my heart that he helps me, that it's not human wisdom, but divine wisdom. The human wisdom is foolishness in the eyes of God. Human wisdom is flexible, perhaps even presentable, but divine wisdom brings the word of the Lord in a way that God can speak and address the people. Here in chapter 8, we read from verse 6, because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Beloved, this word applies to all men. And nevertheless, when we look up Revelation chapter 4, then it's written that John was taken up in the spirit, and that a voice spoke to him, I will show thee the thing which must be hereafter. It's still written in Amos 3 verse 7, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. God always sends a message of grace, an offer, a call before he lets judgment fall. Humanly seen, this is exactly the case. Nobody knows the future. Nobody knows what will be tomorrow. Politically seen, we as a country, as not only we, but some others, are before great decisions. But we, as people who are citizens of the kingdom of God, we don't value any ID or passport. We mainly are interested in those things which take place in the kingdom of God. There no choice or election takes place. There it took place long time ago. And Brother Branham formulates it like this. In the life, I made a choice. Satan voted against me, and Christ voted for me, and I made my decision for him who voted for me. And this is correct. We may say that we are the chosen generation and the royal priesthood. But politically, everything is in an upheaval, and one doesn't know what kind of changes will take place overnight. When one looks at history, then world-changing things were not announced for a long time. They happened overnight. They broke forth upon mankind, and nobody knew the solution. Because I am at this aspect right now, I cannot do otherwise but to emphasize that in the Middle East, things are going on which the whole attitude of the world are becoming against Israel. There was never a time after the Second World War in which the minds were so steered, so carried away as in the last days. But the biased news coverage is mostly to be blamed for it. In all the daily news and weekly magazines, it is concealed that about 100,000 Christians in the past years were murdered by the Muslims. I know Beirut better. In the year 1964, I preached there, and I know the situation there. That what is presented to us as a civil war was no civil war at all. It was a slaughtering of the Christians by the Muslims. And that this thing escalated so much now that these Christians, which of course didn't have an experience with Christ at all, that they didn't have themselves under control anymore in that moment. This is of course humanly understandable, although not acceptable and not to be excused. But you all and we all and with us the whole multitude who just by the one-sided news coverage are informed, we of course give up hope, because we are holding to Israel with all our soul, with all our heart. And right to this people is, so to say, the whole matter is imposed on them. Beloved, whether every decision which is made in Jerusalem is correct after our opinion, this is of course another matter. But one thing we may say, that even humanly wrong decisions will never annul God's right decision. And when the time has come for it, that the whole world takes position against Israel, and God uses this matter, who will tell him, don't do it? Is it not written in the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4 that God will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the other nations, and all who want to lift it up, their hands will be cut in pieces? Everyone burdens himself now with Israel. This tiny little Israel has such a heavy weight that the greatest cannot cope with it. You know, when one's hands are cut, when one lifts up a stone, then when it slips, as long as one can handle it nicely, then the matter is nicely in order. But when one lifts up a heavy stone, which is a bit unbalanced, then it... Yeah. All mighty of the earth, they're trying to lift up this stone, to take it away. Make no mistake, they may grab it and they want to put it somewhere else. It slips off their hands and their hands are cut. This is a development in the end time in which we were placed. We observed this very good, and you will see that that what is written in the prophet Isaiah chapter 17, that Damascus will be a ruinous heap. This can be very near now. We don't know how God will do the things in detail or the sequence, but one thing we know, that we are not walking in darkness, but by the clarity of the Word of God, we got understanding of things which no politician, which nobody can know. I tell you, the best informed people on earth is the people of God. And we know precisely. Also this, we said many times, natural history is always written afterward. When the things took place, then the history writers, they of course hear, and then history is written. God, all of history, He wrote them down in advance. And in the midst of history of mankind takes place the history of the plan of salvation of God with Israel and with the church from all peoples, tongues and nations. And I wouldn't marvel when they would cast out Israel out of the UNO. On that day, I myself would happily rejoice, because the people of Israel from ancient times, it's a separated, a determined people for God. It's of course a political reality, yes, but this political reality, God wanted to use it for His plan of salvation, and this political reality must recognize today that it has a purpose in the plan of salvation, and this will take place by His grace. Inwardly, we can rejoice about it, and we can say, Lord, Your coming must be very, very near, at the door. When we see all these things coming to pass, then we cannot do otherwise but to say, Lord, help us. Call the last ones out. Open the doors unto the ends of the earth. May this last divine call once again be addressed to all the nations. So here it is written, because to every purpose there is time and judgment or decision. Also this afternoon, for the one or for the other, the hour of the divine decision has come. Because it's not about that we belong to a church, not to a church of Paul or Brother Branham or somebody else, but that we recognize that God claims His people and that He leads His own from all churches and denominations, leading them out from all Babylonian mixing and captivity into the perfect clarity of His will and of His word in this time. And sometimes I'm asking myself, for how long some want to postpone this important decision for everyone and for every matter. The determined time comes in which the decision must be made. May God give grace that today, in this hour, for a number amongst us, the important decision would have come to take the stand with God on the word at all costs. We have nothing to lose anyway, but just to win. Then we read from Colossians or Ephesians this wonderful word, which is well known to all of us who have read in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, here it says, from verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Not only the spirit of wisdom, but also the spirit of revelation. You know very precisely that the word wisdom is among the nine gifts of the Spirit by the Apostle Paul. It was addressed and mentioned to the church of the Corinthians. To one is given the gift of faith, to the other one the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge. There are various gifts in the body of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. They were laid into it. And because we are living in the end time, therefore the manifoldness of these gifts must come into operation. Here it is not only about the term wisdom as such. Here it speaks of, may He give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Beloved, to whom Jesus Christ was really revealed, he will understand that he was made for us by God for wisdom, for sanctification, and for redemption, as Paul likewise has written it to the Corinthians. Then we are not coming with our wisdom, but we received the wisdom worked by God in Christ. And in this divine wisdom, we have the treasure of the divine revelation discovered, because thus it is written in Colossians, in Him all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge of God are hidden. But not only hidden, but also revealed to them to whom He reveals Himself. Hallelujah. To some hidden and to others revealed. That's how it was with God in Christ. To some hidden and to the others revealed. What does Peter say? He writes, to us who we believe, this stone which the builders rejected, this stone became the chief cornerstone, and it is precious in our eyes. Of the Lord this took place. Some rejected what has become the most precious to the others. Today, it's the same. People reject the revealed Word of God, in which all the treasures of the divine wisdom and of the divine knowledge were opened, and the Holy Spirit, by the prophetic ministry, has revealed all these things. Some throw it away as a hot potato. And the others are holding the hands open and receive and say, thanks be to you. This you did wonderfully, my God. With what did I deserve this? what is unusable, what is nothing for some, this has become something usable for the others, something precious. Would there be something more nice than that, what God has given us in this time? Not only to live before the return of the Lord, but to have heard the last message, to let ourselves be corrected. And as Paul has expressed here to the church of the Ephesians, you all know the first church age was, of course, the age to the Ephesians. And Paul, the first messenger from the divine fullness of wisdom and of knowledge he has drawn, and he could give it to the church. We today, we may still read some epistles of him. We have no sermon recorded on tape which he preached to the believers, but we are grateful to God for the epistles which were kept for us, and we recognize how God inspired his servants and prophets, how he illuminated them, and how he used them to tell his people what must be said. Here Paul prays. There are not many prayers written down of him, but here he prays to God. He wrestles for the believers. They are on his heart. He's doing priestly service. He wants to see them all again before the throne of God. Paul was not a man to whom it was important to speak to the multitudes. He wanted to see the people again to whom he is preaching the word of God. He wanted to see them in glory. And this isn't different today. Are we just preaching to have some hundreds of people and to bring them God's word? Or are we preaching with the goal that God can bring us to perfection, and that we together will see the countenance of the Lord? Here Paul says in his prayer, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, by the self-revelation of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, and to whom he reveals himself, to him he reveals also all the treasures of the wisdom and of the divine knowledge which are hidden in him. In verse 18 we read, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Not with all, but with them who let themselves be called out, who let themselves be purified, who let themselves be sanctified, who really are ready to a life with God. And I think the closer the coming of the Lord comes, the more we must be aware of what we owe to him. I don't mean here a man-made purification or man-made sanctification, but a divine separation, a divine sanctification and purification, a sanctification by the Spirit in our hearts, which then can be available for God, so that he can perfect that what he purposed. Let me read these two verses still, namely verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is a wonderful promise. Let us not doubt, and let us not think, how shall this be, when Christ was killed and was laid into the grave, he had no influence to that what would happen with his body. And it says here that the same power which raised Christ from the dead also in us, the believers, shall be the working of his mighty power. And you all know that Christ rose from the dead, and that the power of death was taken. Beloved, we are now children of God. We are sons and daughters of God. We have the Word as the sword of the Spirit, and we trust our God who raised our Jesus Christ, the head of the church, from the dead, and who sits at the right hand of God majestically. We trust the same God, the living God, that he will lead all the members of Jesus Christ the same way. And his omnipotence, his resurrection power, his divine power, he will manifest in us who we believe. Let us not look on ourselves. Let us honor God by faith. More we don't need to do. If we this afternoon believe with all our hearts and with all our souls, then we will see the glory of God. And all who didn't make yet their decision, may they make it today in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. A better occasion perhaps doesn't come again. God himself, may he lay the willing and the doing into the heart of each one by his grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.